all the kids are going to go to Miss Debbie. This is your last shot.
No, it's just you don't want my own next stuff.
I appreciate the Chattanooga Church. I'd like to thank Mark and his wife for the food. Boy, has it been good. I'd like to thank Brother Steve. I've known him all these years, and he's always let me speak. I guess that's what you'd say. But I've known Steve since 80, I guess, probably. And somebody asked me, how long did I know Brother Moore? I met Brother Moore when I was 15 years old. Man got mad at me. He thought he knew Brother Moore longer than anybody. I told him, well, did you know him when you were 15? He said, click. Hung up on me. So I guess it didn't matter. But when I went to work, Brother Moore, somebody told me the other day, they said, boy, I'd love known him. And I said, nah, he probably wouldn't have liked you. I said, you just don't have no idea what Brother Moore's like. But I'd get up in the morning and go to work. I would drive him home from Mulberry on Sunday night, and he'd go back and sleep in the van. I'd drive him home. Then I had to get up and go to work at 8 at the house. About 10 o'clock, he'd come out with his hair sticking straight up. He said, what's happening? I said, well, I've been working for a couple hours. I don't know what you're doing. And he said, let's go eat after a while. That was just a normal day. But he was a very kind, beautiful preacher. And he was my mentor. And I loved him. I loved a lot of people. A lot of people have died and went their other ways. I'm not their judge. I was telling Kim and Tim, Steve, we're not people's judges. God's the judge. And sometimes you think people that leave have left because they don't believe anymore. That's not true. That's Paul and Barnabas split. That didn't mean Barnabas didn't believe it. That didn't mean anything. But sometimes you ought to look at it. Some people weigh things to see, am I going to continue in this, or is it going to be more profitable to go another way? And that's 1 Corinthians 9. He said, woe unto me, a dispensation of the gospel committed unto me. Woe if I preach it not. He didn't say I'm lost. He said, woe. And so don't leave the judgment up to God, not you. And you'll be feeling a lot better about yourself. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to say some things about, Jerry brought it up. I believe, you notice I say that. I know we shouldn't, but I believe that God's house is three-story, just like Jerry was talking about. And I believe there's three inheritances in the Bible, and if you don't separate them, you'll never know what's going on. And you start telling people a few things about it, and they look at you like, what are you talking about? It's just like the faith of Christ. How many people you know really know about the faith of Christ? Because they use perverted Bibles. What do you call it, Steve? Perverted Bibles. Non-inspired versions, NIV. You know, those kind of things. The King James is not a translation, it's inspiration. And if God can't get me His Word, what are we doing? We'd be better off fishing or doing something else today, man. I mean, if this is all we got and there ain't nothing else, we ain't got no hope at all. So I want to talk to you about the hope of His calling. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Hey, Brother Steve, I'm getting old. I forgot to put my glasses on. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now go back to verse 11. And, you know, Paul talks about the reward of the inheritance. The inheritance is not a reward. That's something you got. There's a reward in the inheritance, and if you ain't in the inheritance, you ain't going to get the reward. That's just the way it is. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained. What is have? Do I have to go get it? Do I have to work for it? I taught a message a couple of weeks ago. I said, what's the meaning of grace? And I've asked a couple of classes that I have, what is the meaning of grace? And they look at unmerited favor. I said, that's not a verse in the Bible. Unmerited favor is not in the Bible, that statement. I said, grace is no more of works. That's what he said, Romans 11. Grace is no more of works. I mean, what do you want to believe it? It's no more of works, it's grace. And Paul was very clear on that in Romans 11. So, in this, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, and of course people go crazy fool with predestination, but they forgot foreknowledge of Romans 8, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All right, now turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. One of the great things about the Philippian letter is it tells me that I'm already in the book of life. And if I'm already in the book of life, that means I don't have to go to the great white throne judgment. Because that's where they're being judged to see whether they're in the book of life. And Paul talks about these people that are already in the book of life. How could he know they're already in the book of life? Is he the judge? No. It's because of the doctrine that he preaches puts you in the book of life if you trust it. You're already in it. Look in Philippians chapter, one. Is that where I want? No, I want three. I apologize, but I want this one. I'll get it here in a minute. Well, I said I would, but I don't see it. Go to three. Philippians 3, lost my mind. That's easy to do at my age. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of what? Now, high calling is not an earthly teaching. Jesus taught the apostles, John 17 is very clear on that. I finished the work, he said, I taught them the words. And the words that they were taught, they didn't understand until Luke 24 when he breathed on or gave them the Holy Ghost and then they began to understand. Yet in Acts chapter 1, they're standing there and say, Lord, will you restore the kingdom again to Israel? They don't know that. And he says, not for you to know the times and seasons, which the Father put in his own hands. And so there are things they didn't know. Well, I know that when Paul came on the scene, they sure didn't know what Paul was talking about. And Peter said that. He said, well, some of the things he writes are hard to understand for people, and they struggle with it. I mean, they were told the things that would happen to them and what to expect. Paul comes along and tells them, did you know that we can go out alive? And they're going, huh? What do you mean alive? 1 Thessalonians 4, we which are alive and remain. Well, why can I go out alive? Because I'm already in the book of life. I'm going up there to be with the Lord. How long? Well, the last verse in 1 Thessalonians 4 said, so shall we, how long? Ever be with the Lord. So, anyway, so Philippians 3:14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. The neatest thing I know is what's behind me on the wall. Somebody told me I wished you'd start preaching a lot of deep things. I said, what's the deepest thing in the Bible? And they, I don't know. And I said, the gospel's the one unhid. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, one more, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Thank goodness he's a southerner. which I preached unto you, which also you have received. He was born in South Antioch, I guess it was. I declare. Which I preach to you, which also you're receiving wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. How many preachers you heard on the radio or TV read that part of that verse? Not by which you shall be saved. Right? Not by, I hope you get saved. By which also you are saved. God's offering you something he already did. And the word is received. If you don't receive what he's done, then you're in 2 Thessalonians 2, you receive not. You're in a period right now, you can receive it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I've succored thee, I've helped thee. Now is the day of salvation. And if you're messing with that, he said, don't take the grace of God in vain. You see, you're born in grace if you're still living right now. And in the grace of God, if you take that in vain, he ain't going to be friendly later on. Right now, God loves you. He loved you. He gave His Son for you. He's love for you to trust Him. I mean, He'd have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And the method has been done. He gave Himself a ransom for all. But why did He do all that? Well, go to Galatians chapter 1. Now, I'm going to read Matthew 5 in a minute, which is a favorite preaching of the Baptist Church. They do it about every 6 months, 5 months. And then they get into parables. They don't understand them either. And you listen to them. And when I was a boy, I walked the aisle because I got the bejeebies scared out of me about hell. That preacher was hyperventilating like Brian Sipes. I mean, he's going after it, man. It scared me so bad. But there was another reason. There was a girl in that church I wanted to get to know. And so I come up them aisle, and boy, the next thing I know, they got me in a Baptist street. Not in that church, but in a Church of Christ. It didn't count. I was a Baptist, and it didn't count. They didn't have a Baptist. They took me down to a Church of Christ and baptized me. Well, that's 13. At 16, it was hell on wheels from that year, time until 27 years old. And then later on, when I went to work for Brother Moore. But Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for what? Do you think God's going to take that in vain? Do you have any use for a God that would let His Son do that and then not use it? When He watched His Son, you know, I just told him the other day, Simon or Simeon, how are you going to say it in Luke, picked up the baby Jesus. And I told him, could you imagine having a baby in your arms and him looking and smiling at you? It changed his life. He said, your servant has seen the consolation of Israel. I'm ready to go, man. This is what we've been waiting for. Well, how can he know he's been waiting for? Because the Scripture told him, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son. His name is Emmanuel, which is, this. I'm holding the baby. Do you know what you're holding in your lap? He's smiling at you with grace. It's His Word. What do you think of that Bible? Do you just throw it on the table and, you know, never look at it? Or what do you think of that Bible you've got in front of you? An inspired God speaking to you Word. And he said in Romans 3, there's none to understand. So you want to understand? First, you got to trust the Lord. You got to trust the gospel of Christ. Well, how you trust the gospel of Christ? God will give you the Spirit of His dear Son. The brain, the mind, the thinking of Jesus Christ will show you what He said here because He wrote it. Amen. This is God's Word, but it's His Son's Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him not anything was made as made. Do you know how I know that? That was the test at every conference that Brother Moore used to use on the microphone. I heard it about 47,000 times. It was ingrained in my head. And then first, in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh. Do you realize that the Scripture tells us that in time past, God spoke to them through the prophets, but now He speaks to them with His Son? You think about the woman on her knees with the expensive ointment and the tears in her hair wiping the feet of the Creator of heaven and earth, and somebody's worried about the cost. Don't you appreciate Stephen, the church don't worry about the cost? That ain't easy. I put on conferences. It ain't easy because you got all them bills coming in. And you go, where's it coming from? It's coming from God. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He don't care nothing about money. He can print anything He wants. He can move anybody to move what He wants. Why? Who said we were dirt bags? Who was that preaching? We were dirt bags. We're dirt. Hey, dirt bags. You can't do nothing unless God does it. If you think you got something, you know where you got it from? It's His. A man one time argued with God and he said, God, I can build a better man than you. Look at mankind. Ain't he sorry? God said, don't you think so, old soul? Yeah, I can build one that don't argue. They're not covetous, not any of that. He said, well, just go right ahead, old boy. So he reached down and got some dirt. That's my dirt. Did you get it? That's my dirt. Don't be trying to make something out of my dirt. Don't you understand, folks? Steve's got a beautiful place to have a meeting, but this ain't the house of God. Either God's in you, or He ain't there. And I don't need to take a temple into a temple. That's what's going on Sunday morning all around us. They believe that they're in the house of God on the Sabbath day. No. The temple are you. And God gave us an invitation to heaven. Isn't that great? I can't go to heaven. I can't buy my way to heaven. Sure can't earn it. Oh, man, I don't deserve it. And God said, you can come on. Why? Because I've got a 3-story house and I'm going to let you come to the top. Now let's see. Is that Galatians chapter 1, verse 3? 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Okay, what kind of world we got? What did he do? All right, go to Matthew 5. Let's look at this. Matthew 5 is the teaching of the disciples in verse 1 and 2. So the disciples are there. So do we believe in pronouns? I think Jerry brought up a pronoun in Ephesians. Do we believe in you, they, us, them? Right? If I say you, who am I talking to? If I say we, who am I talking to? If I say you, who am I talking to? Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs. Not the disciples. Who? Theirs. Who's he reckon he's talking about? Well, it's going to come down. You're going to see in verse 5, 4 is they. Verse 5 is they. Verse 6 is they. Verse 7 is they. Verse 8 is they. Verse 9 is they. Verse 10 is they. Verse 11 is you. It changed. Well, in verse 5, blessed are the meek for... And he wasn't kidding how to make them meet, because Jacob's trouble is a 7-year period, and the last 3.5, they got to run and get out of there because it's getting nasty. So, blessed are the meek, they what? Inherit the earth. It's like, did God pitch a true tabernacle when he made the heaven and the earth? He made 3. Third heaven, second heaven, first heaven, which is called earth. The earth, kingdom of heaven. Flesh and blood can have it. Flesh and blood cannot have the kingdom of God. So you got to look at that. And say, so you got these people are going to get the earth, but to get the earth, they should have took it when the king came. But the king came, and they said, we have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. And the greatest thing about this, they tried their dead-level best to kill the king. Had all intention to kill the king. Peter said, you killed the Holy One and everything. But they didn't really kill him. He died. He died for our sins, folks. Peter's message over here, he would say, you killed the Messiah. You denied the Holy One. You crucified him and all that. Paul's message over here, he died for our sins. They ain't even close to the same message. They ain't even got the same words in it. He died for our sins. Somebody loved me enough to die, but he didn't just die. He became me. He became sin for me. The wages of sin is death, not sins. Sin. But I still can die. Where's my judgment? Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed once for men to die. And after this, the judgment. So do I have to look forward to a judgment? for my sins? Or did my Lord go to hell? And took my judgment for my sins. Believe me, if he died on the cross becoming sin, because the wages of sin is death, he who knew no sin became sin. To die for my sins, I have a judgment for my sins. And God judged me in hell. And one day, called the third day, he forgave me. For Christ's sake. And the power of his resurrection is, I'm forgiven. And I don't have to confess my sins to get forgiveness. I already am. And my Lord and Savior did it all. If I'm complete, I'm complete in everything he did. And being complete in him and everything I did, he said he raised me up and seated me at the right hand of the Father. And God said, do you want that? Yes, Lord. You're mine. By grace, no more works. You're mine. And the world that you're living in ain't going to believe it. And the ones that I know will. And I'm going to send you out to tell people. And I'll pick them because I saw them. Boy, when in Romans 11, when he said, Elias said, man, they're killing, they're digging down the prophet's altar and killing the prophet. They're after me! You sent me out here! Shut up. I've reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed to the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, at this present time also, there's a remnant of Jews elect according to grace. And if it be by grace, it's no more works. And so Paul goes to the Jew first, all over the lands as he's preaching. And the Jews that God saw elect, he saved. And the ones that wouldn't, they didn't make the Word of God of none effect, Romans 3, 4 and 3. And the Gentiles, he'd turn to the Gentiles. He'd turn to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles would hear. Who were they? They were in the body of Christ too. Folks, they'd be people in the body of Christ since the ministry of Paul started in the work. But then you get a mystery that Steve brought up. The mystery of the gospel. You. God reached 20 centuries to get to you. He waited 20 centuries to get to you. Is that called long suffering? What has God seen in 20 centuries of what the people have done to His Word and His work and the people that loved Him? You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? That'll scare you. You know how blessed we are? We're sitting here on Sunday morning in Chattanooga suffering. You know why we're suffering? We ate too many biscuits. Those people suffered. For what they believe. They watch people throw their children up in the air and catch them on pitchforks. They watch them skin them alive and pour salt on them. They watched them. It wouldn't surprise me if the witches that were burned in Salem were probably believers. Nothing surprises me after I've dealt with the government as long as I have. Oh, sorry about that. Listen, folks. You think you're suffering? Steve is talking about blessed brethren in here that have a problem. They're suffering right now. But they're not suffering for Christ's sake. They're suffering because of what we've done wrong. Choices. We make bad choices in this world. But the only choice that will ever matter for you is the choice, did Jesus Christ die for my sin, buried and rose, and God satisfied? Or am I going to have to confess my sins with that? Or join a church. Or ask Jesus, give my life to Christ. He don't want it. You're an ungodly sinner and an enemy. But when he was dying, he didn't want your life. He wanted to give you life. Amen. And so, you think he's suffering. You read those people and what they did with what they believed.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Somebody said that a while ago. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Have you ever really read that verse and thought about it real slow? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Israel had the hope of land promised through Abraham. That's always what it's been. I mean, you think about how thick your Bible is, the promise of land. Kingdom. God sent the king. They didn't want him. Okay? The devil said, gotcha. Gotcha. I even got one of your disciples. Killed your son. Yeah. Paul's out there fighting the people that believed that Jesus was the Son of God, raised from the dead. Oh, that's a lie. They stole his body. And then one day on the road to Damascus, God's son appeared to him. Oh my God, who are you? Well, I'm Jesus who you persecute. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He kicked against the pricks of the virgin birth. He kicked against the pricks in the preaching of the apostles. He kicked against the crucifixion. He wanted Jesus dead. He kicked against Acts 2 Pentecost. And he kicked against Stephen. He says, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, ain't when I'm here. Lord, all you have me do. Are you afraid to say that? I mean, Steve was sitting on a porch. Was that the old house over where Stephanie and Billy lived? On the back porch? And I said, Steve, I really want to go to Selma. He said, what? You remember that? He said, why? I said, I've known those people a long time and I love them and I just feel like the Lord let me go there. And I'm there. I've been there for 30-something years. Lost a lot of people that died that I loved. Older people that I was raised with. Why? Lord, what do you have me do? You ever ask the Lord that for you? You afraid to? Are you scared? Lord, what do you have me do? My mentor taught me how to live preaching. Live with the gospel. Jerry was doing it. But more did it. I don't know who else. There wasn't many doing it, I don't think. Live with the gospel. Just go out and preach. And, you know, like Ruckman said, give me 500 upfront money and I'll come and get the plate. No. You just go. I was going to Jerry's conference one time out there in Texas. And I left Panama City, didn't have no money. I had maybe $20 or $30, had a little Nissan. I had to stop alongside the road to use the restroom on a dirt road. And I went to the restroom, there's a $20 bill laying there. I thought that guy went to the restroom, he left something for me. $20, I went on to Jared, and when I come back, all the bills paid. God honors His word, you know that, folks? They that preach the gospel, live the gospel, you can do that. If you don't do that, that's fine with me. That's your business. I don't care nothing about that. That's not a problem with me at all. But for what I have done through the years, 40 years, that's how I lived. And God honored it totally. Well, He's going to honor it one day. Is somebody going to get the earth? But the problem is, they said, we have no king but Caesar. Crucify Him. Let His blood be on us and our children. Ooh, what a statement. What a horrible statement to say about your children. Let His blood be on us and our children. Oh my God. And it has been. But they didn't see the blood how it is on their children. Anybody can get saved by the blood of the Lord. But there's a day coming when Jacob's going to have some trouble. And when Jacob has that trouble, he's going to run out in the wilderness because they were the church in the wilderness. Then the second church is Peter, James, and John. You can go to Hebrews 4 and see that, or Hebrews 2. They're the church which Jesus sang among. And in Acts chapter 2, when they added to them, they were adding to the church, which is the apostles. 3,000, 5,000. Well, what's their hope? Well, what do we see in Matthew 5:11? Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward where?
Where? Heaven. I mean, you ever been to a funeral and they go to John 14? Go to John 14. Steve, what time am I supposed to quit? 10 till. John chapter 14. I heard this, I don't know how many times. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. They don't really know what they're preaching, but they changed the word anyway. Abode. Down in the next verse. In my Father's house. Does the Father's house, could it have three stories? Let's see. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare, say the next word. A place. Revelation 12. Revelation 12. I haven't got time, but I'm going to go with verse 6. Then the woman fled into the what? Oh, she's back in the wilderness again. The church in the wilderness is back in the wilderness. Okay? Into the wilderness. And that is the woman that had the man child, correct? Who do you think that probably is? Could it be Israel? Okay. Verse 7. A thing has come to Michael. Go down, kick him out. Now, Michael ain't going to rail an accusation against the devil, and you might as well stop thinking you can. Don't say, devil, I rebuke you. Good luck. Michael, go down and take care of it. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their, what's the next word? Their place. Is he not the principality of the power of the air? Ephesians 2 said he is. He's the power of the air. Does he probably dwell on maybe Mercury or Venus or Jupiter or whatever? People want to get out there in space. You might find somebody you don't want. You might look at that telescope and an eye blink at you. Say, what you doing up in my realm? His place. And what's he going to do? He's going to knock him down to where? Do you reckon there's going to be some wolves then? But wouldn't it be nice if you weren't here? And that's what you're saved from. Now, you're saved from dying already. You don't have to die. You can go to sleep in the Lord. That's 1 Thessalonians says so. You can go to sleep. You know, if you sleep in Jesus, you can go to asleep. He adds an A to one of them. Asleep is when they're up on third, you know, they're asleep. And sometimes they need to be wake up, you know. Okay? So, he says he's knocked down to the earth, and he comes after that woman Israel. But she has people protecting her out there in the wilderness. They're called sheep in Matthew 25. And all along, we had left. 2 Thessalonians. So, I don't know what hope of my calling. What do I want to do? Well, he said, we which are alive remain should be caught up. Why am I getting caught up, Lord? Nobody ever got that talk to him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or Old Testament. Why am I getting caught up, Lord? Because I delivered you from this present evil world. And I saved you. You shall be saved from wrath. And it's come, now you're going to get saved from wrath. Okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Wouldn't it be a rip if this is the catch out? Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Because right after that, the man of sin shows up. The son of perdition. 3.5 years. Somebody said, what do you believe about the last Trump? Well, he's in office. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hey, we're not appointed unto wrath. We're not appointed unto the tribulation. I don't care what people say. We're not going out. 7 years of Daniel's prophecy is about Israel and the people that would receive not the love of the truth. Wrath and tribulation are not the same things, folks. Tribulation is Jacob's trouble. Wrath is for the rejection of the love of the truth. And there are people going to get it. And you know what? You don't even have to get close to it. The day of days is the day of salvation. What's our hope? The hope of glory. The glory was made in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. He said, unto our glory. Had the devil known you were going to get glory for what Jesus Christ did, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He thought he was getting God, and God said, no, you're not getting me. I got you. Because there's a day coming when I'm going to send Michael down on you. And I'm going to send you the earth, but the earth's going to pay for what they didn't want from me. Well, what about them people in that 2,000-year period? They're mine. They're my new creature, created in Christ. They're holy and without blame. And they're sealed. I mean, you ever heard sealed when you were in a religion? Ain't that a shame? We're sealed. Sealed how? With that Holy Spirit promise. Why are we sealed? Because God knows us. And He ain't about to put nothing on the body when Jesus took it all in the first place. And we'll leave this earth, be caught up together with the Lord, and be with Him forevermore by a simple act. Yes, Lord. Don't ever say no to God. Say yay. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And if you was to trust that right now, God would seal you forever. And by sealing you forever, so shall you ever be with the Lord. And that means wherever He wants for you, whatever He's going to do. Jerry asked, what are we? Romans 8:15-16. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 said He gave Jesus everything. If I'm an heir with Him and joint heir, I got everything. What a deal! A lost, no good, ungodly sinner got it all by the grace of God. Why wouldn't I give Him praise? Why wouldn't I give Him the glory of what He did? And it just simply trust. How many of you got a new car out there? Barely new. Raise your hand. You don't have to be scared. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not going to steal it. I haven't got your keys. How many of you got a new car? Okay, how new? If it's brand new, do you believe it's going to start? Now, I got a gun. I'm going to go get it and put it to your head and tell me if you trust it's going to. Did I leave that battery on, that key on? If I go out there and it goes click, he's going to shoot me in the head. See, you can believe something all your life. It's when you come to the trusting it. That's when He seals you. Amen.